Chapter 17, The Great High Priestly Prayer of Jesus. Verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Jesus clearly stated that all authority, as described in Daniel 7:13 and 14, had already been granted to him. What is interesting here is that we normally think of this event as taking place in history only after the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus. However, it seems that Jesus viewed it all as one package. This is why he emphatically stated in his prayer that all authority had already been transferred to the Son of Man. Now he is only asking God to glorify the Son, but not to grant him all authority. Verse 4, I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you, for I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. Pre-Christian Jewish theology of logos, memra, is at work here. Jesus' pre-existence and eternal divine nature as the Son of God has come out many times in this gospel. His own self-awareness of this is clear from the text. God's name is a shortcut, using modern language, to everything that God is, says, and does. Jesus stated that he manifested, disclosed God's name to all those who followed him. This means at the end of his ministry, Jesus has a deep sense of satisfaction in the work he performed on his Father's behalf. He was content with what he had accomplished. He manifested God's name to all whom the Father had given him. Verse 9, I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. In this particular prayer, Jesus states explicitly that he is petitioning his Father only on behalf of his followers. He underscores his intimate relationship with the Father by saying that all that are his are also his Father's, and all that are his Father's are also his. Jesus, in anticipating his departure to the Father, had already stated that he had left the world. This is a typical realized action statement by Jesus. Although he had not yet left this world in a physical sense, in another sense, he had already left. Jesus' prayer is centered on asking his Father to preserve the work he had done. But notice something more here. It is not just that Jesus had a mission from the Father to carry out, but there is also a sense of ownership that is clearly present. This is not simply a servant who did his job. This is someone who himself is now deeply invested in these people. Jesus, therefore, personally asks the Father who commissioned him to do it to keep them in his name. Verse 12, I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I'm coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you send me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. Jesus and his disciples' relations to the Iudaioi and others who oppose him are such that they live physically inside of this order that opposes God. This order will one day be redeemed, but that is still in the future. For now, the world opposes God and his Messiah. Jesus' clarification is important. He does not ask the Father to remove them from the world. The order itself is not bad, but it must be reformed and redeemed to become the order that embraces and supports the values of the kingdom of God. It must cease to be the oppositional regime that it is now. To be in the world is dangerous, not only for Jesus, but also for anyone who follows him. The ultimate price of martyrdom may have to be paid. Jesus is clear in his prayer, Father, keep them from the evil one. The evil one here is primarily the ruler of this opposing order. But in another sense, the ultimate evil one is, of course, the ultimate enemy of God, Satan. Sanctification, making and keeping them holy, is of primary concern to Jesus. It is extremely important to everything he is doing. If his disciples are not sanctified, they will not be able to lead God's people into a new, redeemed direction. Jesus' mission must not fail. To ensure this, he asks his Father to see that it is done. Verse 20, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. These verses are very important for us as we seek to understand the relationship of the world as Iudaioi to the world as a general order opposing God of Israel at any time and in any place. As I suggested before, I think what accounts for the interchangeability of this term is that by the time the Gospel of John was written, the main enemy of the Jesus followers, the main opposing force, was no longer the Iudaioi, whose authority was brought to the ground zero with the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem in 70 CE. It was now the Roman Empire. The ownership of the world throughout history will change hands many times. The message of the Gospel of John is clear. Jesus wins. He has overcome the world. As long as we are with him and in him, we share in that victory. All those who read and hear this gospel must make the choice to submit himself or herself to the loving but firm rule of the Son of God. Verse 22, the glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them." If one follows the logic of the text closely, one cannot help but notice that the world is not simply an evil force. Opposing force? Yes. Satanic? No. Why? Because it was very important to Jesus that this world would be persuaded that Israel's God sent Jesus, and that this God loves the disciples of Jesus as much as he loves Jesus himself. There are two hurdles here that need to be overcome. The world must first see that Jesus is from God, and then understand God's love for Jesus' followers is as strong as his love and approval for Jesus himself. If the world fully belongs to Satan, why should God and Jesus even care? Save the disciples and send the rest to hell, could have been Jesus' attitude. But his attitude shows he has a deep love and abiding care for this oppositional order, the world. It was very important to him that this order would stop being oppositional and start being submissive. Once again, whether the Judaioi or the Roman Empire was in view, we can see how Jesus' words can be significant in both historical circumstances. Jesus and his disciples must be justified in the eyes of the world, a strange desire indeed, unless God has truly loved the world, as John had already stated in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.